Christian told me a couple of days ago that Norm did a study on this song, and I got to looking at the song, and there's a lot in this song, and I wanted to kind of go through and look at the whole biblical background of that song, and Norm helped me a lot with a lot of notes he gave me, and it helped me study good, so thank you, Norm, for that. Amazing Grace. Aren't you glad after a day that's hot outside? You think it's hot here? Aren't you thankful for Amazing Grace? So that we don't have to experience the other hot, the never dying worm place. I was just, it was really hot today. I want to start out with the meaning of grace. Grace means elegance or beauty of form, manner, motion, or action. A pleasing or attractive quality or endowment. Favor or goodwill. When we think about what God has given us, I would say it's a favor. I don't deserve it. It's a gift. He gave me this. It's a favor. I think that one of the best verses that I want to start out with is in 2 Corinthians 5. I think this verse is one of the verses I think that would describe faith. I mean grace. 2 Corinthians 5:19. This is one of my favorite verses, and some people just don't seem to get this one. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. A lot of people don't get that the word not means not. It's simple. He doesn't impute. And that's grace. I deserve to have everything held against me. I deserve it. Because I'm just as rotten to the core as you can get. And I don't deserve this not imputing thing. It's grace. Let's start out in verse 1. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Turn to Ephesians 2, verse 12. Several of these verses, the first three references I have, it puts a condition that we were in, and that it would help us understand that grace is a sweet sound for me as a cursing Gentile, for me as a Gentile. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood. That sounds pretty sweet to me. But now, in verse 13. Look at what it was before. We were alienated. We had no hope. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Turn to Matthew 10 and I'll show you why we were alienated. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10 verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Are we there? Did anyone see themselves mentioned there? I don't. So doesn't amazing grace sound sweet? After you look at the conditions that Jesus put forth when he was here, as to who he went to? Matthew 12 is a prime example of that. People say, oh, Jesus would have talked to me when he was here. I don't think he would have. I thought I had Matthew. It's Matthew 12, but I forget the verses. I don't have them marked. Thank you. What verse is it? 31. It has to do with where Jesus wouldn't talk to that woman. That's Matthew 15. That's right. Sorry. Turn to Matthew 15. I knew I had it marked in my Bible. Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. What was Jesus' response? But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent unto, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Again, a sweetness that grace has, because Jesus wouldn't even talk to you or I. Because none of us ever had a chance to bless a Jew like this woman did. That's why she was blessed. Grace, how sweet. Acts chapter 13. Turn to Acts 13. Verse 38 to 43. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought these words which be preached to them. The Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed upon Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. The Gentiles heard this message. It was like, wow, the forgiveness of sin. And they were like, we want it. They besought him to preach it to them the next Sabbath. Do you remember how sweet it was you when it was preached to you? When we remember that moment that we trusted and believed. We'll get into that a little bit more, some of the results of that, of the belief part, what goes with that, the peace, no condemnation. I remember well. Let's go to the wretch part that saved a wretch like me. It's a hard thing for a lot of people to admit that they're a wretch. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. What page is that? 790. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sounds pretty wretched up to me. Romans 1. Very, very important to get saved. You got to realize what you are. And the Bible pretty makes it pretty clear what we are. Romans 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Sounds pretty wretched up to me. Look at that whole list. And you know what? I'm guilty of every one of those. Every single one. Romans 7, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Romans 3. Verses 9 through 18. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. And like Brian Seitz would say, no, not one for the dummies that don't get it. There's none righteous. No, not one. The word none means none.
There's none that understandeth.
There's none that understandeth. There's none
that
seeketh
out of the way.
They are together
becoming
profitable. They are together becoming profitable.
There is none that doeth good.
There is none that doeth good.
Their throat is an open sepulcher.
Not one.
Their throat is an open sepulcher.
With their tongues they have used deceit.
Is under their lips.
The poisons of asps is under their lips.
Full of cursing and bitterness.
Their feet are cursing and bitterness.
Their feet are swift to shed blood.
Destruction and misery are in the ways.
Destruction and misery are in the
ways. The way of peace have they not known.
And the way of peace have they not known.
There is no fear of God before their eyes.
As it is written,
there's none righteous.
No, not one.
Oh, I haven't cussed or swore in a year. I haven't even chewed a bag in a whole year.
See any good?
No.
See any good?
No.
Pride. I used to be pretty good. I know
Zeta was too.
Sorry, Zeta.
But think about it. When you're under the religious system, you think that you're going to save me, you think you have to be good.
That's all your mind can see is good.
Oh, I gotta help him, or I can't smoke, or I can't chew, on and on they go.
This group has a different set of rules.
This group has another set.
Folks, it's not about that.
We are not good.
The heart is deceitful above all things. That's the way wicked.
There's none good.
Plain and simple.
If you don't like it, take it up with God. That's just the way it is.
Matthew 10.
Somebody feel like I skipped something.
Because it's going straight to the fear part.
Oh, okay.
Verse 2,
it was grace that taught my heart to fear.
And grace,
my fears relieved.
How precious did the grace appear?
The hour I first relieved.
We all know what fear is.
Get fear bad enough to get goosebumps.
As kids, we used to have a real dark barn upstairs.
We had to go hay down.
And we always had a big imagination of a black panther.
And we had one light bulb in a huge barn.
And we had to go down around the outside
where it was dark too to get back into the lower part of the barn. And I remember my brother and I were up there and I said, there he is. And we ran and I said, here he comes. And this is a fear. It was an imaginary fear. But fear. I remember well how I would. able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I think a good, healthy fear, I think fear can be good. It can make you search. It can make you, I think it's just a little bit healthy to have a fear. That's if you're not saved. I know. I thought about that right after I said it. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Yeah, it can. Yes, it can. It can make...
It's grace that taught my heart to fear.
It was grace that taught my heart to fear, yeah. That's not a biblical quote, that's just a song. Fear the Lord, yeah. Romans chapter 2, verse 2. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thou thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You ever fear the judgment of God? Not anymore. And grace, my fear is relieved. I used to think God had a big stick up there. No, actually, let's put it this way. I knew you had to have the biggest eraser around because I was taught that if you sinned, well, then your name was erased out of the book. It was a constant scribe in, erase out. And I always feared that hopefully I die when it's still there. Grace, my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Romans 1. I guarantee you this guy that I read a little bit up about John Newton. He was actually in the slave trade. And I think that the night that this song was inspired, I think he had a pretty rough night on the water. And he comes to grips with everything. And I tell you what, to write a song like this, he understood. He really did. Romans 1 verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of man who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In verse 32, I'm really not sure, okay, it talks about the wrath of God. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Okay, Acts 9, verse 3. That laugh, it was Jerry Jones, he told me he's going to... How did he say? I'm going to make you fear if you don't start telling me when you're going to teach. I didn't advertise it. Acts chapter 9. Now, verse 3. And he journeyed, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I think Paul had a little bit of fear going on. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Look at what permission Paul was on. Compare this with verse 1 on this chapter. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues that he, if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. I'm telling you, that dude was serious. He was going after him. Absolutely no fear. Check out verse 6. And he trembled. A complete change. Okay, let's go to where fear is relieved. Romans 3, verse 24. Start at verse 21.
Romans 3?
Yeah, Romans 3, verse 21. Page 1194. This is the fear being relieved. But now, here's one of them but nows. I love but nows, and henceforth. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest and being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned, here we go again, down that whole wretched line, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in the blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I'll stop at that one. We are justified freely. No more fear. Normal bondage, it's freedom. Romans 5. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember how nice it was to go to bed and just, you could just sleep. Just like
the night I was saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was just like, wow, I can sleep. Just like, yeah. It's unreal. The freedom of everything. Go down to verse 9. Romans 5, verse 9. Much more. Here's a much more then. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That's life eternal. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. A completely different picture. And actually, let's turn back to Matthew 24. I want to compare that with Matthew 24. This is why the Bible says to those that want to live under the law, don't they hear the law? Matthew 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Find any peace in that? Sounds like a lot of work.
Especially when you can endure the whole day.
Yeah. Let alone to the end. It's not very freeing. It's not very, very peaceful. Mark 13 is another contrast to grace. Mark 13:13. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That word endure again. Now, let's flip the page. Compare that to Colossians 2:13. Turn to Colossians 2:13. 13 and 14.
What?
1264. If I'm going too fast, just let me know. Colossians 2, I tend to get going a little too fast. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took us it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. When you see the word all trespasses, that's complete freedom. The word all means all. It doesn't mean just the 99.9%. It means all of them. And people just cannot grasp that. They just, that the simple three-letter words really can hang up a lot of people. That's right. That's it. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. We're dead unto that life. We're in Christ. Yeah. And old people get all fired up about, well, look at what Romans 12 says about all these things you aren't supposed to do. We're dead to that. Are we in a vile body? Yes, we are. Are we going to sin? Yeah. Carlton might not, but the rest of us probably do. another one to turn to is Ephesians 2. You know, it really makes me sad when you try and witness to somebody and they can't get past who I am. You know what I mean? They judge me according to what their standard is, and so they don't listen to me because I'm not like them. I'm vile. It's just what I am. But I have a gospel that nobody can preach a better gospel. There's a lot of guys can preach it better than I can. I'm not a Steve Atwood by any means, or even a Norm Barton. But it just don't look at me. People get so involved in discussions of the gospel, they get so involved, it's me against you. It's not me. And I just clarified that today on Facebook. Look, just remember, it's not me. It's the Word of God. It's not my opinion. It's the Word of God. Ephesians 2. For by grace are ye saved. It doesn't say, for by grace are ye endured to the end through faith. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. That whole free business, the gift, it's a favor. Grace is a goodwill. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Compare that to the enduring to the end. That's why there's so much freedom in it. That's why the fear is relieved. Romans 8, verse 1. One of my favorite verses. 1201. There is therefore now... Oops, I still hear pages going. There's chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Is that freedom? Is that fear? It's not fear. It's liberty. It's exactly right. Okay. Let's go to the grace will lead me home. That's in verse 1. Through many dangers, tolls, and snares I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. There's white out. Any of you guys go through troubles?
Never.
Really? Try Galatians 5, verse 10. You know, there's a point where Paul said, you know what, I forgot to write those verses down. I can find them, though. Galatians 5 verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whosoever he be. There's going to be trouble. Yeah, I got a few verses that actually where Paul wanted to actually die. Yeah. I mean, it's a promise right there. We're going to be troubled. Yep. It'll be taken care of. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 12. Oh, this is a good verse for the faith healers. 'Kay. I now hear that when you're sick and things, or broken arm, it's not an issue of sickness, it's a struggle. Verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. That means three times. That it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Our very own apostle, look what he had to deal with. Something he badly, badly wanted out of the way. He asked God three times, get it out of here. There's just a debate what that could be. So be it. Look what Paul said, I take pleasure. We take pleasure in that? I had to think a little bit about how that, you know, sometimes the experience is a little bit annoying.
So we kick them off Facebook, right?
The experience is annoying. But in the end it usually you get strong, it's what it says. For I'm weak, then am I strong. Chafin, you have a prime example of that. It could look tough. I'm not going to say what it is. But anyway, it could look tough. It could make you mad, miserable. But when you get through it, you know where you stand. I like that. The fact that Paul did it too. Had to do it too. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 21. Verse 21 to 30. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, say one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I had been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory. I think it's a good time to bring in those other verses. Honey, what did we decide those were? Oh, 2 Corinthians 1:8. Yeah, just a little bit of people calling you cults and deceived, that's not bad at all. This is where Paul was at one point in time. Verse 8, 2 Corinthians 1. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Paul was to the point where he just wanted to die. I cannot imagine the especially when he first started his ministry, bucking up against the whole system, that it was a total different change. And he probably didn't have a friend anywhere. People hated him. And just think about when you come to a point where you're lonely in life because you lost a friend, think of not having anybody, that comes to the point of wanting to die. And they didn't have happy pills back then either. He had to deal with it.
I don't know.
Romans 8:26. Turn. We're just going to have to flip the thought a little bit. This is help for our infirmities. 8:26. 12:02. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 4. Oh, I kind of see what I had. This goes back to people who had trouble. I had that Romans 8:26 as the help. This is more of the trouble. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Second Timothy 2. What is the only thing Satan can do to us today as a saved person?
Destroy our testimonies.
Mm-hmm. Try and shut us up. And look what happens when you get out and you start. This is what happened to these guys. 2 Timothy 2 verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ, that no man that worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Requires to be a good soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So there is troubles. Now, the grace will lead me home. Found a few promises about grace. Ephesians chapter 4. 12:54. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Is that going to take us home? Yes, it will. It's a promise. Ephesians chapter 1. Another promise that grace is going to get us there. Ephesians chapter 1, 12:50. That's the verse number, 12:50, not the page number. Verse 13, Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What's earnest? Any of you ever give earnest money to anything? When I bought those 25 acres, I went and gave him earnest money. That way he couldn't back out on me. So, who's holding the earnest money? It's the promise of a man, of a God who cannot lie. And it's going to be until the redemption. It's there. It's going to take us home. Let's go to the glory part. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. That's pretty hard to imagine. We as human beings run our minds for seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years and decades and on and on and on. We cannot fathom 10,000 years. It's just like we just got there. And it's going to go on and on and on. The glory part of it. Matthew 17, verse 2. I'm not sure why that's there. Let's go to it once. This is just it shows God's or Christ's glory. Or God's glory. 10:22 is the page number. Verse 2 in chapter 17. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. That's glorious. Acts 26. Verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Another example of the brightness of the sun. The glory is just going to be unbelievable. Philemon.
Chapter.
Actually, I'm thinking it's supposed to be Philippians because I got a chapter there. Let me go check Philippians out. thinking it might be Philippians. Yeah, go to Philippians chapter 3. My bad, in it, I didn't write enough letters down. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Okay, we're vile. This body's not going to go there. We're going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Kurt, that's an old trick. Yes. Never ending. Oh, no. Yeah, Kurt tried an old day old trick. Steve Atwood trick. At least I know he's listening now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think Kurt should just come on in with Lisa. What do you think? Jeez, what's money, Kurt? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. It's never ending. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Eternal sounds pretty long to me. It's never ending. Keep reading. In the next four. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. It's pretty awesome. Now he that hath wrought us for the same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Goes back to the earnest we talked about in Ephesians 1. Wow. I tell you what, this book is just pretty, pretty amazing. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 10. Verse 10. 2 Timothy 2, verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The verse I want to end tonight with is another definition, probably the most profound definition of grace. Turn to Philemon. I'm sure. Yeah, this. Actually, this. Well, this is in my head, so I didn't write this one down. Now I have to find the verse. Oh, verse 18. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account.